when I was nine, that was when I went with the Princess...
was that Nottingham?
Princess Anne.
Princess Anne.
I went and was introduced to Princess Anne.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, it was a bit adored. A big disappointment to me.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because it was in the council house at Nottingham.
Yeah.
We would have these special tables and that, and they were reserved. We all sat there, and then the one of the sergeant majors, whatever he was, came in and he said, Princess Anne is coming up the stairs now, so when she comes through the door, we'll all stand. Well, I expected to see someone with a lovely hat and lovely dress and that. It was a cold day, mind you. And, of course, I dressed myself up and sat there and think about. And we still stood up when she walked in. I was most disappointed. She'd got the sheriff this side in all his regalia and the sergeant major the other side all in his regalia, bright gold and that. And there she stood. No hat on, and you know she has a hair. She'd got a dark coloured coat and skirt, a tweed skirt, and a scarf twice round her neck. She wasn't dressed up as well.
She's always been a bit like that, though, hasn't she?
Well, I did expect more than that. And she came and shook her hand round, and she said to me, you were here at the time, were you? And I said to her, yes, I said to I only saw the top of the Prince of Wales, and I saw his hat. And she says, well, he was rather small, wasn't he? That's what she said to me. He was rather small. But she's tall, isn't she?
Yeah.
But there was a right let down that was I expected her, you know, different. I thought she'd have a lovely hat on, and that shows you how you imagine people.
Yeah.
But it was... It was nice to see her, and we all had a reception then, but the royalty, they don't see it. They're not really genuine, are they? I don't think so.
Well, no, I've never met one.
well, they're no different to
us. I've seen them go past in a car, but that's all.
Yeah. Well, I've met the Queen before she was... when she was Princess Elizabeth, when she opened the university. I remember that. I can even remember that. You know, I don't like to talk about it because I sometimes think people think, oh, she's letting her mind run away with it. But no, they're not. It's true, perfectly true.
What sort of games did you used to play on?
Oh, hopscotch. Hopscotch and marbles. And I've got some marbles there that I keep going through.
Still play here.
And we used to play lurky. You know the street lamps?
Yes.
There was a little man who used to come round and light the street lamps. I should think I'd be about 12 then, perhaps 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And my friend and I, we used to wait for him to come in. And he used to straddle his legs round the pole, because they were metal.
Yeah.
And straddle up, because they were only little, and light the lamps at night. It was lamplighter. He had a proper lamplighter.
Yeah.
And it used to bob. And we used to watch and wait for him coming to watch it. And then he'd come up the Franklin Road, where we lived there. And he'd come up. And then, when he lit it, we used to play lurky round them. That was a game. Yeah. We used to chase round them and... that was another game, waiting for the lamplighter.
Yeah.
When you think about it now, there are lights everywhere.
Yeah.
At Jacksdale, Laverick Road and then Franklin Road. Mm. Well, that's where the lamplighter, he used to live at the top. It was only little and he couldn't reach with the pole and he used to put his legs round and slither up. It was comical. But we didn't think nothing. And there was a book called The Lamplighter. I remember we were fascinated with that when we were children. And you know, at the picture palace, there's no picture palace at Jazztown. Yeah. Well, they used to have little concert affairs. And there were travellers that came and did it. And they did, I can remember them doing The Old Folks at Home. And there's that creepy, low-down singing in it. And they used to come and you'd pay sixpence to go and see them, and then they used to come and lodge at your house.
Oh.
You could, yeah. There was a little girl played one of the parts, and my friend's mother took her in, and they were thrilled to have her. Everybody were thrilled because we thought they were better than we were, because they could do all this singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they were good. And then the silent pictures where the man used to play the piano.
Yeah.
And he lived at Selston, he'd only got one eye, but he could play. And we used to go on Saturday afternoons, and when it was tuppence, and if you sat near the front, they called it the flea pit.
Oh.
And if you sat near the front, halfway through, a girl would come with Flit. You won't remember Flit, will
no.
you? Well, it was like a metal piece like that, and you did this,
yeah.
and it sprayed disinfectant down.
Yeah.
And they used to come and spray you with it at half time.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yes!
Yeah,
my friend used to say, let me sit at the end, I want some on me, it smells nice.
Yeah. Oh,
yes, it's brain first three rows.
I can just remember that. They were still doing it a little bit when we used to go and...
Yes, they yeah, did.
They really
there were that many, that many bugs and things in there.
Because they were cheap seats.
Oh.
You only had to pay a penny there, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, a lot of...
It was only 1 and 6 at the back where all the courting couples went. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, in them days, a lot of children had knits in their hair and
yes,
different things,
yeah.
didn't they, crawling
Teacher,
around.
You
and...
used to have the knit woman come, didn't you, at school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did. And my friend used to say, let's sit at the front so we can have that scent on us. They thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
And then they used to have a cereal. And this cereal, it had horses and cowboys and that. And when it got to the exciting time, the bananas was good, we were stamping his legs, we were so excited. And it would end where the horse was just going to fall down the cliff.
Yeah.
And it would say, next week.
Ah.
We all had to go next week to see whether it managed to get over the cliff. It always did.
Is that the literal cliffhanger?
Yes, yes. The cliff, that's it. And that was what attracted you to go each week.
Yeah.
Of course, there was Charlie Chaplin and Oliver Hardy and all them. Those were for the evening ones, but the afternoon they were all comics, more or less.
Yeah.
There was only a penny to go. And the best seats were 1 and 3. Well, as today money, it'd be 5p for a shilling, wouldn't it? It'd be 5p, I'm saying it then.
What, always meant to ask you, what sort of things did you, presents did you used to get at Christmas time?
Oh, well, at Christmas you all hung your stocking up and you all got an orange, apple, some nuts and one present. And I can remember when Third Loves came in and Marjorie and I, you see, they were all grown up and Marjorie and I were little together. And Mum said, what did you want Santa to bring? And we said, pair of Third Loves. And we thought Santa brought them, you see.
Yeah.
And we kept saying, we want Third Loves. We both want Third Loves. Because she used to dress us both alike, Margie and I. And when it came Christmas morning, you got your stocking down. And I remember it. It was a little clock. And it's got caramels in. That was exciting. I've got this little tin clock, you know. I can see it now. And... We said we hadn't had any Third Loves, Santa had not brought us Third Loves. So she says, well, he hadn't quite finished them. He was making them, he hasn't quite finished them, she says. But he has left one pair and you'll have to share them. Well, she lifted the cushion up on the settee. Well, there were couches, they weren't settee. And under there was a pair of gloves. She'd made them herself, we didn't know. And it was cotton, like jersey stuff.
Yeah.
And it was rabbit. My dad used to shoot rabbits. There were always hanging rabbits at the back of the pantry door.
Yeah.
There was always a rabbit hanging. And she'd taken the back off and she'd cut round and done. And there was one pair. She'd only had time to do one pair. So we decided that Marjorie should wear them one day and I should wear them the next. But you see, they weren't properly cured and all the fur kept coming
off.
And then one day she came back in them and half the fur had gone. And I was crying because she'd spoiled the fur. didn't realise that. Not another thing we did, Margie and I, the girl down the bottom of the lane had had a baby. And I tell you, we'd be about 6 or 7, and she'd had a baby. So Margie says, I wish we could have a baby. We could take it out in pram, couldn't we? Yes, sir. Well, tell me, Mum. And we went home, that's Mum coming for a baby.
Oh, God. I bet her the hair whitened it.
So we kept on and on until she says, oh, well, she says, go and look under the gooseberry bush. And across the road from us, there was a lot of fields and there was a lot of bushes around. There were some gooseberry bushes. Go and they have to go down and look under there. They may be there today or they may not. Do you know me now? I went every day looking under these gooseberry bushes. I don't know how we found out. I don't know how old we'd be. But we lived in a fancy world. We didn't live in the real world. We didn't. But when I was 14, I had the shock of my life, because then I was put in with adults and town people. You see, country people, you must admit, they're slower. They are. Because it woke me up when I got there. My God, you me. I used to write on my hand which was up the road and which were down the road, because this shop... Well, yeah, no, Nottingham.
Yeah.
Well, Wheelergate.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you know that I remember Marks and Spencer being built there?
Really?
Yes, that's on this. It's on this side.
Yeah.
Well, the shop I was in was there. It was called Stuart Stevenson. Mm. And he was supposed to be teaching me. And they started, they were all officers there, big officers. And they knocked them all down and they were saying, oh, they're going to build a big Marks and Spencer's shop over there, and they're going to have hairdressers for the girls. And they were saying, oh, what was going to happen? We're all going. Are you going to me? I said, I have to ask my mum. So I asked my mum, I said, they're all going to go when it's done. You've got to go and have your names down. And my mum said, you've got to do a year's apprenticeship. You can't leave there. You see, that's my mum. So I couldn't go. And when it came, one by one, they kept going across. And when it opened, there were only me left in this. Of course, they got some others to come.
Yeah.
But I was a starter again then. So I didn't like it then. So that's when I left them. Well, actually, a traveller came in and he said to me, would you like to... Because you had to have a good reputation to get in this one. And he got me there. He said, go. He says, and when you go, get dressed. He says, wear a hat and gloves. Dress properly. You don't have you if you're not... And I can remember going, and I stayed there then all the rest of my life. But I can remember Marks and Spencer being opened. So you can tell. I could tell you when that was. And I can remember when Council Square was opened, because that's why I went back to the...
See Princess Anne.
Yes, yeah. She, you see, the Prince of Wales that abdicated... He opened it the first time. Well, I was working at this shop then, and of course it, I don't know, it was the apprentice, and he let us go to see it. And when I got there, we were only little, and there were crowds and crowds. Oh, terrific, you couldn't move. And there were all people with big hats and cherries on. They were all dressed up, you know. And I pushed myself out right to the front as much as I could. And all I saw him, he walked right down to the top of the one. And all I saw was his hat.
Yeah.
I couldn't see him. When I got back, the boss said, well, he said, did you see the Duke there? I said, I knew his hat. He said, well, that's worth going for then. I said, well, I said, there were all people there you couldn't get. Well, in the paper, when it reported it, it said that there was more people there than had ever been known before. Everybody went. But when the princess came, there were hardly anybody there.
Yeah.
There were no crowds. And anyway, it's nothing as nice as it was. And they asked me, it was on television, did you see it? They said, what did you think to it? And I said, I don't think it's as nice as it was before.
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
I've got it anyway on telly. And it isn't, it's nothing as nice. Mm. It's just as common as common. And it was all elegant. You know, my mother brought us up to say, she used to say to us, now go out into the world and you're as good as anyone else.
Yeah.
That's what she used to say.
True, yeah.
I don't think it's true, but... But you had to. She wanted you to lift yourselves
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
I think she did very well. You don't really take so much notice of your mother when you're young, but when you're old, you go back and you think, well, she was right, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I don't know whether my two take any notice of me or not.
Well, I'm sure they do.
Is there any? Did you used to listen to music, sort of? As while you were growing up and as you got older, did you listen to any recorded music?
Yes, but we had a gramophone. We only had two records. That one.
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
We, Mum used to put it on, and we knew it off by heart, but we'd sat there, all of us, listening to it. Now, that was the one, I've got it in the piano, I can't play it now because of my hands. The other one was a comic, Tom Foyle his name was, and we used to have those Scottish comedians on.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but other to that, you never had it, but it was always Henry Hall's orchestra.
Oh,
Henry
yes.
Hall's guest now, he was talking to wireless. It was late on we had a wireless. Everybody had a piano though.
Yeah.
Everybody had a piano, whether they were good, bad or indifferent.
Yeah.
Miss Lim had a music school and I went to that. And she taught all the young ones that was, aimable. A lot went and then gave up her mind, did he? Only he said, she's always on to me. Oh, you're not interested, in you weren't either.
No.
And... Because he used to go to my mum's to learn, and she used to say to him, have you washed your hands, Brian? And he would say, yes, but he never had.
No. You had to wash your hands before you played piano, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dearie.
Is there any music that's got special memories for you, I think?
Well, I love all music.
Yeah.
Anything that comes up. I mean, all these new singers... Some screech, they don't sing. I like a proper song that I've got down there, and I like that. Andrea with his orchestra, I like orchestra music.
Mm.
Any music, but not the modern stuff. You don't know what they're singing about. There was one on the other day that said, bring out the dogs, ring. Whatever they're singing about, bring out the dogs. Mm. And they reckon it's a new one in.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought to myself, what are they saying? When I mentioned it to Mark, he says, oh, it's one of the latest songs. I said, well, what are they singing and bringing out the dogs for? He says, well, you have to listen. And I thought, well, I have listened, that's all I can tell. Because they mumble such a lot. Oh, and don't they squeal? They're going up there and... No, I don't like that. I like it. Lovely. One of my favourite, nobody else seems to like it, is, what's his name? Oh, I forgot his name. He was on X Factor and he came second to the top. And then when, do you remember him?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd blonde hair that stuck up a bit.
Did he have a stammer?
No.
No.
But he sang beautiful. Well, when it came next to the top. Tag, and he wouldn't do what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to go onto these different units, and he wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah,
it isn't. But I couldn't believe that he wasn't ever coming on again. I think I've got it down here, and I put it on for Beryl when she came. And I said, "Do you like it, Beryl?" She says, "No."
I mean, I bet you can remember most of them from war years, can't you? All the war songs, you know, and...
I went to see Gracie Fields.
Did you?
At the Theatre Royal, yes.
Oh, amazing.
I went with my mother. Yes, I went to see Gracie Fields. Well, I mean, she was very popular then.
And
all the films she made. Actually, they had her on there not long ago, you know, a life story.
Yes.
But it didn't really show you a real life story, no. did it? Because when she married that Italian and they were fighting, you see, they went off her. I thought that was cruel because she didn't know that they were going to... Then they had her back in the end, didn't they?
Mm.
Well, they didn't have her back, she came back. Mm. Yeah.
So if when you saw the documentary, did they play any of the music about, you know, when they were telling their lives? What was that like, hearing it again?
Oh, it was... Well, I like that sort of thing. If they put in... Just lately, have you noticed how they're putting all the old ones back on?
Yes.
And aren't they good?
Yeah.
There's no one comes up to them, is there?
No.
There isn't.
Does it remind you, though, of...
Oh, yes, of definitely. It remembers what you were doing and where you were.
Yeah.
And, because the Gracie Fields, I always remember, Leslie, that's my husband's brother, took his mother, mum and me to see Grace Fields. Now, my mum never went anywhere. She was always too busy, never went anywhere. And that was the first time she'd ever been to the theatre. And it was overwhelming to see how she enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I like other people. I enjoy seeing other people enjoy things more than myself.
So listening to that Gracie Fields when it was on the telly, did it remind you of your mum?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. It did remind me of mum. Because she never went anywhere. They never went holidays and that. Now, we didn't go. I never saw the sea till I went to Sunday school at 12. Went to see the sea. I never saw the sea at all. I didn't know what it was like. None of us did. None of us knew. And yet... Little Emily there, she's been to Mallorca and all over.
Yeah.
And she's only two. And I'm acting worried. They've been all over the world. Mm. They've booked in this year again. They're everywhere they've been. When they took China, Japan, they go all over. But they say, we never did. Stanley and I never did. But when he came back from the army, he says, I'm never leaving England again. He did, he said, I'm never leaving England again. It had such a rough, it slept with pigs and all. It had such a rotten time. And I said, no, we're not. I've never been anywhere. And then I won a holiday to Jersey.
Oh!
you won quite a few competitions, you have.
Yes, I have. But this particular one was one to Jersey. Plane. A car when we got there.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, it was. It was lovely. 2 weeks, it was lovely.
Oh.
And Raymond of London, what was his name? Bernard of Mayfair. He took us in his yacht to France. We went to, and Stanley let him wear his sailor's hat and me. And we went to France. I thought, oh, I wished I was 21. I'd be 50 when I won that. There was one Christmas. We just closed the shop. Everywhere was quiet. And I'd got a paper. And for some, he was in the office doing the work, you know, evening work. And I did that puzzle. I never expected hearing. I won the first prize. Mm-hmm. And when we was in the shop, the chauffeur drove up. Came in and he says, which is Dorothy Wilbraham? I said, oh, we've something for you. And there were two of these men came. It was a lovely hotel. In fact, everything was perfect. Oh, and he did my hair and his hair, Bernard de Mayfair, then took us in his yacht to France. So he took us round there. Hey, and another thing, I had another big surprise there. He took us to a part of France, and there was women there scrubbing the clothes in the water on stones. They'd got the washing, and they were in it, and scrubbing, and I thought, good, they were, you know, washing, and they'd got these great big stones and were scrubbing away. I Thorough. And there was lots of little shops around there because I went in and bought a silk scarf from one. And then Bernard of Mayfair said, I should buy some of these lovely cobs. I thought, well, we don't know when they're going to eat them because we were at this hotel, you see. Mm. She said, it's the one most wonderful bread there is. Anyway, we enjoyed that. That was after he said it was never good, but we didn't go anywhere else. Mm. We just went around about. But I mean, today, they're off all well, aren't they?
Could you just tell me how you think Jacksdale and the surrounding area has changed?
Well, it has changed because it was very old fashioned and to a state that everybody knew everybody, mm. but they don't know.
Yeah.
And nothing. Nothing's the same at all. You know the big house, it's very dilapidated now, near the memorial.
The one from Dr. Surgery?
Yes.
Across from Dr.
Yes.
Surgery?
Yeah.
That, the man that had that built, is he was a bookie, and him and his wife, it wasn't married, they had that built. And when they went in it, it put all fairy lights all around and made a big show of it. They never had any children, and they lived there till they died. Mm. I remember them going in it. I was only about 12 then, but she was a teacher, a school teacher, and when she died, he came across to us, she had all these shoes and half of them never wore. But do you know what size they were? Three.
Oh, tiny.
Yeah, she was tiny. Oh, I said I'd never sell them anymore.
No, not unless it was to children.
Size three. It was a amiable man, but the one that bought it after that, he never seemed to bother, did he?
No.
He just let it go. And then Mrs. Bossingham, that lived next to it, she had a wooden shed across the road, and then she had that built. Was hairdresser and knew all them, and then Stendhal's grandfather bought all the shops at the front, but they were all houses, mm. and he had all the windows and everything put in, those big windows and all that.
Yeah.
They were his, and he had the clubhouse, that was a butcher's, and all those buildings at the back, that's where they killed the animals.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was Stone Row, you won't remember Stone Row. Oh. Do you remember Stone Row, Brian? Do you remember Stone Row?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm. They were cottages built for James Oakes, weren't they?
Yeah.
And there's no back door, there's only one door. And there were
no back windows, were there?
Yeah, there was a row, and they were all stone, and they were closed together. And when they went to the toilets, they had to go across the yard, and the toilets were at the bottom of the yard.
Yeah.
And when you went out for a walk on Sunday, you'd walk down there, and round by the canals, and you'd see them coming out from the toilet. Mm. Half the men pulling the bridge. They would, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And I can remember my husband standing outside one of the these, when he was a boy, he told me this himself, he was standing outside and could hear music inside, and they'd got a gramophone and they'd got all this music going, and he stood listening to it, you see, and when he got home he said to his mum, they lived on the shop then. He says, Mum, why can't we have a gramophone and music? And she says, we could have if they paid all they owed us. They were having sixpence a week on you know, paying sixpence a week.
Yeah.
That's what you did then. When I worked at the groceries in the co-op, children used to come in with a little penny book and used to put a penny in. And these books used to stamp them. And the children, and especially on a Friday when the dads came from it, because the pit men didn't go to the war, you see.
Mm.
They were at home. And they used to bring these books in for you to write down, a penny. And you see, they used to get books. When they spent so much, they used to get a divvy. Mm. And there was a divvy. You want to see them all queuing up for the divvy.
What actually is a divvy?
Well, you know, if you spend perhaps £5,
give you a bit of money back,
they give
didn't
you
they?
Perhaps a penny and a shilling
right,
back.
Right.
And they used to weigh it. The dray used to come out every Friday, and it was horse and cart. Now, just imagine this today, horse and cart, and the people used to stand and wait because there was only so many cream cakes came during the war. And those people that had always had the cream cakes used to say, I had them when there wasn't a war on. I want my cream cake. There was real, you should have given us some now. And all there was argument, I used to hate it. This tray used to come and he used to look at only six. And you know, always going to have his six cakes. Oh, and then it'd be a slab.
Yeah.
And you could only have one piece. There's four of us in our cup. Oh, dear me. It was awful.
Can you remember anything, Auntie, where you had a strange recipes during war when there was shortage of food?
Yes, there was. Oh, dear. And you used to have to queue for hours for a piece of cake. There used to be queues in Nottingham for a piece of fruit cake. And our mother used to queue.
Mm. What did you have for your dinner mostly during war?
Could get, Brian. But you used to have a little tin of salmon if there were four in the family.
Yeah.
A big tin of salmon if there were more. But you see, you all got to have your ration books, so you couldn't diddle that. Mm. And you used to stamp it. We used to have to cut these little tickets out.
Yeah.
Tins of fruit was unheard of. There weren't any tins of fruit.
Right.
And there had to go. You know. And all these batons hanging down, you know, on rails. And you had to duck your head to get under. To get to the other part, and they had to last you a month. And butter, little bits like that, and you'd have all of them coming in. I didn't have my butter last week. Well, it's gone, your coupon's gone. Well, you must have took it out then, you've took it wrong. Oh, it was agony.
How did you happen to meet Uncle Stendhal, by the way?
Meet him?
Yeah.
At school.
Oh. But at Jacksdale? Mm. Yeah.
We knew one another all our lives. We knew one another 10 years before we were married.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were good, because in those days you didn't do nothing naughty.
Oh, no.
How old were you when you got married?
24. Yes, because at 21, he wanted to get engaged. And when I had to you had to tell your mother everything in them days. And my mum said, oh, if you want a ring, I'll buy you one. You're too young. You're far too young. So I couldn't be engaged. I had to wait till I was 23.
Yeah.
I know. And my sister, Beatrice and Daisy, never did get married. I think she shooed them off.
No.
She didn't want anybody to get married. And then Elsie, she married a teacher, and she was 29. At 30, I don't think she was bothered about getting married either. We really loved his mum, you know. Only we thought there was nobody in the world like mum. When she was ill, we all quabbled and we were going to have her, didn't we?
Yeah.
I wanted a Marjorie one.
Yeah.
Because she had a stroke there, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, we do, we loved her, she was. We still do love her.
Yeah.
Didn't many though, is there? That's over that would prefer the mother to anybody else. You wouldn't think with all that. I don't think I could have been good like that.
With eight children, that's a lot.
It is. I don't think I could have done. In fact, my two was different as John and Jesus. We're good together, but Elsa was very different ideas to me. Now, I was talking about her little girl being. Catherine having Thea, a name Dorothea they called her to me, but Thea for sure, the name. So I says, is she going to be christened? And Sue says, I don't know. I says, well, when she comes, I'll ask her. Oh, I shouldn't ask her, mum. She says, they're personal questions. I says, I shall ask her. So I did. I said, are you having her? She said, no. I says, why? She says, no. I said, well, you were christened. She says, well, I know I was. So I says, oh, don't you believe in christening then? She said, no. That was the biggest shock of my life. So I says, oh.
Well, there's very I mean, I've noticed when I've been going through parish registers that there's very, very few baptisms nowadays.
No, no.
Not many at all.
I don't know why, because what have you got to lean on when you get older?
Yeah, I mean, everybody did it just automatically, didn't they, years ago, but not today.
Well, I don't know about automatically, but when
I mean, everybody got... my dad was 14 when he got baptised, and Uncle John.
Yeah.
But they all got baptised at some time, didn't they?
Yeah, I can't understand it, because we all went to a church school, and at a church school they teach you the catechism and that. Well, when Helen came one day, she was talking about school for the little boy. I said, does he go to Sunday school? She says, no. I says, oh, I says, well, you went to Sunday school. Yes, I know. I says, did you learn the catechism? She says, what's that? So it's in your hymn book. I said, no, we didn't learn that. Did you learn? I said, what did you learn? She says, well, you don't have to learn that, do you?
In them days, most families had family Bibles. Did they used to read them?
Yes. In fact, I know the catechism all the way through, right from what is your name, who gave you this name. I know it right through from beginning to end. We had to learn those things.
I mean, did they read them at home?
You know, my mother, she went upstairs, we had to go to bed with a candle, because there was no electric or anything, you know. There was no toilet or anything, you know. We used to go to bed with a candle. And when we got to the top of the stairs, there was a big picture, and it said, I am the light of the world. And there was Christ with a lantern. And I used to look at him as I went to bed, and I thought, well, I'm doing the same as him. My mother brought us up religious. And when we got to bed, she used to say, have you said your prayers? Well, you know how you jump in bed as a kid, and you don't. Have you said your prayers? And she looked at you, get out. And we used to have to get out of bed and kneel at the side of the bed and say prayers.
Yeah.
But she always came in and we had to say our prayers.
Yeah.
And we had to go to Sunday school 3 times a day. And I've learned to lean on that type of thing. And that gets me through life more than anything else. The love of God. Because I feel, you know, I can talk and feel things that others don't. Because when Marjorie was here, and we laugh about it, it's not dead serious. She sat there where Brian is, and I said to her one day, I said to her, do you ever feel that Ron's near you? That's her husband that had died. She says, I don't. I says, don't you ever have a feeling that he's going to speak to you or something? She says, I don't. She says, you know, trouble with you, Dorothy, is you've got a big imagination. So I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I sat here the other night watching telly, and there was something on it that I knew he'd laugh about. And he was sitting where you are. And I turned around to him and I said, oh, wasn't that funny? I found it.
Yeah.
He was there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing. I go to bed at night sometimes, and I get in bed, pull all the clothes over me, and I can feel a warm arm come round. Folks could laugh. And they
no, there's nothing wrong with that.
But it, of course there isn't, because I can feel it. But, you know, we've laughed about it. And then my friend Marjorie, that I was talking about, her friend's husband died, and she rang me up, and she said, I shook up my life. She says, I said to her, Nora, I'm ever so sorry. She says, to cheer me. Oh, you wouldn't bother about that. She says, I'm damn glad he's gone. She says, I'm going to have him as a timekeeper over there. She says, he's going to work that something in his life before. She said, that to her. She did. I time her over there and said she's going to work. They've never worked before.
Oh,
She did. She said, well, I never knew. She did.